Information discussed in this podcast may be sensitive in nature to some listeners. Listener discretion is advised. James Jamie Lubin Valdez had just surpassed a full year of sobriety. He had lost weight, and he had now learned how to manage his diabetes. In May of 2021, Jamie married his girlfriend of several years, Anna. Anna had previously told him that she would not marry him until James managed to stay sober for at least 1 year, something he had succeeded in doing. But the new marriage wasn't without its problems. On June 9th, 2021, James and Anna had a fight, and James left the house. James later visited his wife at work, and their argument continued. Afterward, he went home and packed a bag. He planned on going to the nearby Ozarks to visit his teenage daughter and some friends. The events of the next week are unclear. There are mixed reports, and many that said they might have seen him or interacted with him couldn't remember the exact dates. On June 19th, 2021, Jamie's friend and Anna's boss's husband came across Jamie's car near a swimming hole and also nearby a home that Jamie's family once lived in. This was also 10 miles from where he currently lived with Anna and her family. The car was found in an unusual way. It was filthy dirty. The front seat was pulled all the way up, and someone had written in the dirt on the back window. It simply read, "Help me. He is near." Anna drove up to the car and took some photos. She sent these pictures to Jamie's sister, who lived out of state. His sister told Anna to immediately file a missing persons report, which she did. And to date, Jamie has not been found, although strange clues would continue to come in. Where is Jamie Lubin Valdez?
Jamie's sister, Sean Claiborne, says he was last seen by his wife on June 9th, 2021, after they had gotten into an argument.
He got angry because she was called into work when they both had the day scheduled to be off, and they were planning to spend the day together.
More than a week later, his car was found like this, 15 minutes from Boonville in Sugar Grove.
There weren't any tools in Jamie's car, so I don't know how he could have been the one to do that.
Police spent weeks searching the wooded areas.
That last phone location was in an area that was underwater at the time of his disappearance.
2 years later, the investigation is still open.
I don't know if it was foul play or if he got into rushing water and drowned. I think there's people out there that know more than what their fear is letting them say. And we just need for those people to come forward and let us know what they know. I mean, we can keep them anonymous and take that information to the police.
While Sean doesn't believe her brother is still alive, she hopes for closure to help lessen some of the pain.
His wife is not doing well. She's had a lot of fingers pointed at her. Siblings are emotional wrecks. This is... It's been really hard on all of us siblings. None of us get very much sleep. We're worried and just want resolution and closure.
Hello, and welcome to the Where Are They podcast and another unsolved missing persons case. This case takes us to Boonville, Arkansas, in the case of 47-year-old Jamie Valdez. We always wonder why some cases receive more media attention than others. And I generally think a lot of it comes down to how much there is to talk about, or if there are any interesting or mysterious components that garner interest, either on social media or in mainstream media. And Jamie's case definitely has some bizarre and suspicious elements, so I'm really surprised it hasn't seen more media attention. There are two good podcasts done on Jamie's story, the Unfound podcast and Missing Persons. If you are interested in another perspective or a different look at Jamie's case, I definitely recommend checking those two podcasts out. Before we dive into Jamie's story, I want to give a big welcome to our newest Patreon members, Rena and Abby. Thank you for your support of our show. I welcome all feedback and case suggestions. You can always reach me via email at canwefindthem@gmail.com or anytime via social media. All of those links will be in the show notes for you. Jamie Lubin Valdez was born into a tight-knit large family. He spent time living in Arkansas and Texas, and he did struggle a bit with his sobriety on and off. Jamie is also diabetic and has had troubles in the past managing his diabetes, although he was said to recently have that under control. Jamie also had a daughter that he adored, and in his early 40s, he began dating Anna. Anna and Jamie had a good relationship for the most part. Jamie wanted to get married, but Anna told him that she would not marry him until he was able to stay sober for at least 1 year. In May of 2021, after a full year of sobriety, Jamie and Anna would get married. Jamie's sobriety was a huge win for him and his family, and everyone was so proud of him. In addition to staying sober, Jamie also managed to get his diabetes under control, and he lost weight, getting himself to a much healthier place. In early June of 2021, Jamie and Anna moved back to Boonville, Arkansas, after living in Texas. Jamie's teenage daughter lived a couple hours to the north in the Ozarks, and both Anna and Jamie had family in or near Boonville. Anna's mother also lived with the newlyweds as she had just had back surgery and she needed help. And Anna's brother lived with them as well. The disappearance. On June 9th, 2021, Jamie and Anna had plans to spend the day together. Those plans were derailed, however, when Anna was called into work. And Jamie was upset that Anna was going into work. He was looking forward to spending the day together. Anna and Jamie had an argument about this, and Jamie left the house. Later on, he showed up at Anna's work, where they argued again. Jamie then went home, packed up some clothes, asked Anna's mother for $600, and said he was going to spend a few days with friends in the Ozarks and visiting his daughter. So when a few days went by and Anna didn't hear from Jamie, she wasn't immediately concerned. They had just argued after all, and maybe he just needed some space. Maybe he needed to cool down. But after a few more days, Anna started to become worried. She talked to her boss at work, and her boss went home to tell her husband, a man who was also a childhood friend of Jamie's. He said he would keep an eye out for him. On June 19th, 10 days after Jamie left the house, Anna's boss found Jamie's car. It was parked near a swimming hole in the area of Sugar Grove, a few miles southeast of Boonville, and happened to be nearby a house where Jamie used to live. It was not a populated place, and it was definitely odd that his car was there. In fact, the friend only found the car because he was visiting a nearby cemetery. He said he had actually seen the car there during a prior visit, but he hadn't thought much about it. Now, knowing that Jamie was missing and noticing that the car looked a little bit like Jamie's, he stopped to investigate. He took pictures of the car and sent them to Anna, who immediately knew it was Jamie's car. She forwarded those photos to Jamie's sister in Texas. It was definitely Jamie's car. However, the vehicle was filthy dirty, the front seat was pulled all the way up, and it was torn or ripped, and there was a cryptic message written in the dirt on the back window. And the message read, "Help me, he is near." Anna asked if she thought she should call the authorities, and Jamie's sister said, "Absolutely." Something seemed very, very wrong with the entire situation. Here was Jamie's car, but now where was Jamie?
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
The search. Law enforcement did come out to search and investigate further. And searching around the area, they found some of Jamie's belongings nearby, including his medical card and items that seemed to be from his wallet. They did not find Jamie's cell phone or the car keys. There was also said to be a meat grinder that had been in Jamie's car that he used for work, but that was also missing. Detectives also discovered that the vehicle engine had been tampered with. Wires had deliberately been cut, seemingly by someone who knew exactly what they were doing. It didn't make any sense. There was no reason that Jamie would have even been in that area, and he certainly wouldn't disable his own car. And the message on the back window was ominous. Authorities also started going door to door and talking to people in the neighborhood. And eventually, some young men came forward and claimed responsibility for writing that message on the back window. They claimed they did it as a prank when they came across the dirty vehicle. And their story seemed to check out, so there was finally an explanation for that weird and scary message. Search dogs were also brought in, but nothing else was found in the area, besides the items that they had found from his wallet. Authorities did speak with the friends from the Ozarks, and it was learned that they did indeed have dinner with Jamie on June 12th, and he had told them about his fight with Anna. He'd also told them that he planned on returning home soon. However, later on, these friends admitted that they actually didn't know the exact dates of when that happened, and they could have been mistaken. But you'd think it would have to be sometime after June 9th if he had told them about his fight with Anna. But Jamie's family isn't putting much stock into their story. Their memories just seem way too unclear. Another investigator came in to help locate Jamie, and they were able to access Jamie's iCloud account. Jamie had a cell phone, but he had no cell phone plan, so he only used his phone when he could be connected to Wi-Fi. And through his iCloud account, they were able to determine that his phone had last pinged 3 to 4 miles away from where his car was found. And it was an area that was actually completely underwater at the time that the phone pinged. Searches of that area, however, turned up no additional clues. This was the lead that led law enforcement to believe that they might be looking at a case of foul play here. Why would his phone ping somewhere that was underwater? Yet, they never did find his phone or any other signs of Jamie. Interviews with people known to the area also uncovered more information about that mysterious and creepy message written on the back of Jamie's car window. The message that read, "Help me, he is near." The first story that came out from these young men was a story that claimed that they had seen a man sitting in the car the first time they went by and that the car was running. When they passed the car sometime again later, the car was not running, and that's when they wrote the message on the window. However, after the family found these young men later on and questioned them about this, they said that they never said they saw anyone in the car at all and that law enforcement had been mistaken in their report. That seems an odd thing to make a mistake about, doesn't it? Physical searches of the area would continue throughout the summer and into the fall, finally halting when hunting season began, as it was just too dangerous to be traipsing around in the woods in these rural areas. No additional signs of Jamie were ever found. There would be the occasional sighting of Jamie that would be reported. And one seemed somewhat promising. A neighbor in the area had seen a man around the time Jamie disappeared. It seemed to fit Jamie's description. He was walking down Dry Creek Road carrying a bundle of what they thought was clothing. Authorities did investigate, but they were unable to corroborate that story, And it really is unclear if they believe that it may have been Jamie Valdez. Sadly, law enforcement never processed Jamie's car as a possible crime scene. They didn't take any fingerprints or look for any blood evidence. And since this time, the car has been repossessed and its whereabouts are unknown. Boonville, Arkansas. Boonville, Arkansas is a small town located in the Arkansas River Valley, an area of rural land that sits in between the Ouachita National Forest and the Ozark Mountains. Boonville does serve as one of the county seats of Logan County, the other being the town of Paris. Today, Boonville has a population of just around 3,800 residents. This is a few hundred less than in the year 2000, when the population was just over 4,100. Boonville, Arkansas is just 30 miles to the Oklahoma state border. What will you find in Boonville, Arkansas? A lot of rural land, several churches, an elementary school, a junior high, and a high school. Typical small town America. The Petit Jean River is located to the south and the Boonville Reservoir to the north. There are a few other lakes scattered about and several ponds. Boonville Reservoir, or Boonville Lake, depending on who you talk to, is a 13-acre small recreation lake on the north side of town. Dry Creek Road is a winding rural road on the south side of Boonville. It actually runs into a small area known as Sugar Grove. The area is exceptionally rural, wooded and sparse, although there are homes scattered up and down the road. This is the road that Jamie's car would be found on. Dry Creek Road is also the road that Jamie had lived on previously, as his mother used to reside on Dry Creek Road. His car was found near a local swimming hole off of this road, and it was seen by a friend who was driving to a nearby cemetery. Jamie no longer had family living on Dry Creek Road, so it is unusual that his car would be found abandoned there. The question really is, who put the car there? Did Jamie drive it there and leave it, or someone else? And who tampered with the engine? And most importantly, where is Jamie? Theories and possibilities. Jamie had been sober for a year before his disappearance. Had something happened that caused him to fall off the wagon, as they say? He did just have a fight with his wife, and he could have been stressed or anxious about that. He also had his health under control, finally, after learning to manage his diabetes. He had lost weight and seemed to be doing good, although some had spoken up to say that they thought he might have actually been gaining some of that weight back. Diabetes can cause episodes of delusion and affect someone's ability to function properly. Could he have become lost and disoriented? It is believed that he didn't take his medication with him when he left, or at least not enough medication that would have lasted him for any length of time. If Jamie had had an accident, possibly due to sobriety issues or a diabetic episode, where did he end up that no one could find him? His car was found near a swimming hole, and in addition to some small lakes and ponds in the area, there are creeks and rivers as well. Jamie's sister also mentioned they think it is possible he could have fallen in and drowned in an area of rushing water. But if this is the case, why hasn't he been found? Why was his car left where it was? And why was the engine tampered with? Or did Jamie simply leave his life in Boonville and want to start over somewhere else? There has been no activity on any of Jamie's accounts, social security number, or driver's license, but people have done it before. And then there's the issue of him asking his mother-in-law for $600. What did he need that for? Just for traveling, maybe, to his friend's place up north in the Ozarks? Why that amount? The issue here is that everyone said Jamie would never abandon his family. He had never done anything like this before, and he certainly wouldn't leave his teenage daughter behind. During one interview that Jamie's sister did, she specifically stated that the moment they knew something was very, very wrong, scarily wrong, was when he missed his daughter's 16th birthday. Something that he would never, ever do. Another major concern here is foul play. Some believe that Jamie's wife hasn't been as cooperative as they'd expect. And it was soon learned that she had a boyfriend, possibly even before the time that Jamie vanished. There were also rumors of trouble brewing between her brother and Jamie. It's unclear what is meant by trouble, but there was apparently some tension between the two. And Jamie and his wife were living with her mother and her brother. Anna had also reported that a handgun belonging to Jamie was also missing from the home. Does that mean that Jamie may have taken it himself? Or was it disposed of for other reasons? Other than law enforcement's fear of foul play in Jamie's case, mostly due to the pings from the cell phone, and his family's concern of the same, there is no evidence pointing to anyone in particular. According to the U.S. Department of Justice, homicides are the crime least likely to be committed by a stranger, meaning, as we all know, people who are murdered are usually done so by someone they know, possibly upwards of about 90% of homicides. I'm curious to know what you think happened to Jamie Lubin Valdez. Where is he? Jamie is described as a Caucasian male, standing 5 foot 9 inches tall and weighing around 200 pounds when he was last seen in June of 2021. Jamie was 47 years old and would today be 49. Jamie has brown hair, a mole on his left cheek, and has the tattoo Sierra on his left arm. Anyone with any information on the whereabouts of Jamie Lubin Valdez is asked to contact the Boonville Police Department at 479-675-3508. Thank you so much for listening to Jamie's story today. This man has a family that has been searching relentlessly for him for 2 years and has suffered so much sadness, not only by not having Jamie around, but by not knowing what happened to him that June day in 2021. Please keep sharing Jamie's story. Let's keep his name out there. If you have any feedback or case suggestions for us, please feel free to reach out via social media. You can find those links in the show notes or email me anytime at canwefindthem@gmail.com. If you'd like to support the show, consider leaving us a 5-star review on your podcast platform of choice. This truly does help us get our stories out there to more people. You can also support us, along with the families that we work with and our charity partners, by subscribing to our extra bonus episodes or joining us on Patreon for ad-free episodes in addition to subscriber-only content. You can find that link in the show notes as well. Thank you again so much for listening to Jamie's story today. I'm truly hopeful that answers will be found very soon. We will be back again soon with another unsolved missing persons case. And until then, stay safe and hug your loved ones.